Well, now it's over to Adrian Reynolds, our guest preacher for this morning. Adrian is one of the directors of the FIEC. He's an elder at Christ Church, Market Harborough. And he recorded this morning's sermon for us and for a few other churches who are looking to get some guest preachers in over the summer. I've recorded one for a few other churches as well. So anyway, it's over to Adrian and I'll allow him to introduce himself.
Thank you for having me. My name is Adrian Reynolds. I'm one of the leaders of FIEC and also serve as one of the leaders of Christ Church Harborough, a small local church in Market Harborough in Leicestershire. A few of us who are pastors got together and decided that it would be good and help one another over the summer if we could record some sermons that we could each use in our churches. We need a week off every now and again, and I'm sure you probably need a week off from your pastor too. So we hope this will be a helpful way of keeping the continuity going, but actually giving those who have been serving you hard a little rest. I'm going to preach from Psalm 127. So if you'd like to turn with that in your Bibles, I'm going to read it and then I'm going to pray. A Song of Ascents of Solomon. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labour in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior, are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in court. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. And as we look at it now, please will you speak to us. Thank you, your Holy Spirit inspired these words to be recorded for us. Please may he now be at work to apply them not only to our heads, but to our hearts also. And we pray in Jesus' strong name. Amen. I'm sure, like me, you don't like to waste your time on things. It's very frustrating, isn't it, when you invest lots of time and energy in something only for it to be wasted. So imagine for a moment that I asked you to come round and help me paint my front room. Imagine I asked you to help me out painting it from red to blue or blue to red, like in the picture. And imagine that the day after you'd put all that effort and energy into painting my front room, I called you up and I said, thanks very much for your help, but I've really decided I'd prefer it was magnolia and I've painted over it. You'd be a bit frustrated, wouldn't you? You'd be a bit frustrated that all the effort you'd put in, all the time that you'd committed, had come to nothing. And that's exactly what it looks like in Psalm 127, as the king, for this is the words of King Solomon, says to his builders and his guards, you're just wasting your time. Did you notice that the builders and the guards are the ones that he is addressing? These are the two key jobs. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labour in vain. And unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. Those are the two key groups of people that King Solomon is addressing. As they're building the city, as they're building in particular the temple, presumably, Solomon is saying to them, you're wasting your time. I don't know what they expected when Solomon gathered them together. Perhaps they were expecting a pat on the back. Perhaps they were expecting a wage rise. Perhaps they were expecting for the king to get up in all his finery and say, you're doing a great job. And instead he says, you're wasting your time. You builders, you'd be better off doing something else. You guards, you're just wasting those night shifts unless the Lord is with you. This is the king's speech. This is a song of ascents, which means that it was sung as the people went up to the temple, no doubt so they could remember how the temple was originally built. And it's an important message for us today. I want to show you two things from this psalm. First of all, I want to show you this. The king's city is built when the Lord provides. And this is verses 1 and 2. The king's city is built when the Lord provides. The builders are those who are actually working on the temple. They're putting the stones one on top of another. They're putting in the cement. They're building the columns. They're doing the woodwork. They're creating the furnishings. They're creating this extraordinary temple that is described in the Bible for us. But also there are the guards in verse 1 who are standing watch, making sure that no one is stealing the building materials, making sure that the enemies can't come and get them when they're at their most vulnerable. And the king has to say to these people, it's all a waste unless the Lord is behind it. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labour in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. Now, that of course is not a call to be lazy. It's not a call to stay in bed and have a lie-in. It's a call to recognise the sovereignty of God in the building work. The temple's not going to get built supernaturally. It's not going to suddenly wake up one morning and it's all going to be finished. No, the builders have to actually do the work. And the city is not going to be protected supernaturally if the guards don't get up on the walls and stand their watch. But unless the Lord is behind it, all of that is in vain. He is the one that provides. That's the point of verse 2. In vain you rise early. That's the builders probably on the early shift. In vain you stay up late. That's probably the guards on the night shift. Toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. In other words, it's all a waste unless the Lord is behind it. That is what the king is saying to his people. Now, we don't have a physical temple and we don't have a king like Solomon, but we have a better king. We have King Jesus. And King Jesus still speaks to us about the city being built. The city now is not a physical place. The temple is not a physical place within it. It is the church itself. And King Jesus says to us, his people, exactly the same. He commends to us the building work. He says, I will build my church. And then he calls us to partner with him. He calls us to build. We are builders, 1 Corinthians 3 verse 7. But unless the Lord blesses our work, we are labouring in vain. We are guarding, making sure that no wolves get in. But we need the Lord to watch over us, or we stand watch in vain, John chapter 10. In other words, the message is still the same. The message that Solomon had for his people is still the same message King Jesus has for us. The king's city is built when the Lord provides. I wonder, are you busy building and guarding? Perhaps you're not doing the things you would normally be doing during lockdown. But perhaps you're anticipating as the rules get relaxed, or all the things that you might have been doing in church and will be doing in church again. You're working hard. You know, it's often said that churches are like helicopters, because if you get too close to the rotors, you get chopped up. It does feel a bit like that in church life, doesn't it, sometimes? And those things are good. We need rotors. We need organisation. We need to know who's going to be on Sunday school each week. We need to know who's going to be opening up the building and so on and so forth. But however busy we are, however diligent we are, however committed we are, this is what we need to hear from our king. The king's city is built when the Lord provides. That's why the prayer meeting is such an important part of church life. And the prayer life of individual members is so important, because as we express our dependence on him in prayer, that is when he provides. That is when we build successfully. That is when we guard safely. The king's city is built when the Lord provides. Second thing I want to show you is this. The king's family increases when the Lord rewards. Look at verses 3 to 5. I'm going to read them again. Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in court. Now, I guess these are reasonably familiar verses, and you may have heard them read out at certain services in the church or at certain times. If you're a parent, you may have read them and felt a thrill as you think about your family. But I want to show you these are not about earthly families. There are lots of clues, actually, that should just stop and make us think. I don't know what Bible translation you've got, but literally verse 3 says sons are a heritage from the Lord. Verse 4, children born in one's youth, our Bibles say. Originally, the text says sons born in one's youth. So what about daughters? That should make us think, hang on, there's something a bit more going on here. And look at the language, offspring, a reward. Are our children, those of us who have children, really a reward? Do we have children because we've somehow pleased God? We've done good things. And so God has looked down upon us and said, oh yes, Adrian's done good things. I'll give him three daughters. That seems an odd idea. And what about people who very painfully can't have children? Is somehow God punishing them? That doesn't seem right, does it? It should make us think. And if we really believe these verses, blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them, we would simply have as many children as possible, 15, 16, 17, 18. Well, that's ridiculous, isn't it? And how do your children help you in court at the end of verse 5? No, there are lots of little clues here that something bigger is going on. Lots of little alarm bells ringing. And what we need to remember is this is the king speaking to his people. And it's the same today. It's the king, King Jesus, speaking to his people. And which is this family he's speaking of? It's nothing less than his family, the family of the king. As Solomon addresses his people, he's not talking about what's happening in their lives. He's talking about what's happening in his life. And as King Jesus addresses us, he's not talking about what's happening in our homes so much as what's happening in his home, in his family. Now you might think, well, hang on, does Jesus have a family? To which the answer is yes, he does. Often, of course, we think of Jesus as the Son, which he is. We think of the Father as the Father, which he is. But that Father language is also applied to Jesus. So very famously, of course, at Christmas in Isaiah 9, we read that he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. That's Jesus. He's the head of the family, if you like. And Isaiah chapter 8, which is quoted in Hebrews chapter 2 in verse 13, describes Jesus saying this, "Here I am and the children God has given me." Here I am, says Jesus, King Jesus, and the children God has given me. There are lots of ways of describing Christians. We describe ourselves as Christians, as followers, as disciples, as children of the Father. But actually one right way to describe ourselves would be as members of Jesus' family, even as children of Jesus. So what are we talking about in verses 3 to 5? The king's family increases when the Lord rewards. We're talking about the family of Jesus increasing. We're talking about people being saved and added to our number. And that only ever happens because those children are a reward given from God to Jesus. Isn't that a wonderful way of thinking about yourself? As a reward given by the Father to the Son. Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from him. Given from the Father to King Jesus. Not a reward for my efforts. No one is ever saved because of my effort. No one is ever saved because I've done well. People are saved and brought into the family because of Jesus' pure life, because of his righteous works, because of his pure words. They are a reward for him, and he is blessed by them. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. That man is Jesus. He is blessed because of the number of children, the number of believers he has in his family. They honour him. They exalt him. They show him to be great. You, if you are a Christian, honour Jesus. You exalt Jesus by being saved. You show him to be great. You are part of his heritage, as am I. And right at the end there, verse 5, they will not be put to shame. Better to read that, I think, he will not be put to shame when he contends with his opponents in court. You might think, well, what's that verse all about? And if you've ever been to a dedication ceremony that some churches have, that's the verse that gets missed out. But it makes sense when you think about it this way. We are the witnesses for Jesus. So we demonstrate that the king is vindicated. When the king stands up in court, if you like, and when all his enemies point their fingers at him and accuse him, he says, no, I have been richly rewarded by the Lord. Look at all these witnesses. Look at all these family members I have. They are evidence that I'm in the right. They're evidence that I have done the right thing. So you and I are the children in verses 3 to 5. You and I are the witnesses to the goodness of the King. And our calling, therefore, is not to make children. It's to be a witness to the one who is our family leader, our head, our King, even our Father. The King's city is built when the Lord provides, and the King's family increase when the Lord rewards. I imagine this is not how you thought about this psalm before, quite possibly. I hope I haven't spoilt it for you. I can't have spoilt it, can I? Because I've made it better. I hope I've made it deeper for you. It's more profound than ever, perhaps, we understood. Are we to build? Are we to guard the city? Yes, yes, yes. But not without depending upon Him. So build, guard, do all of those things, but depend upon Him. And as the Lord provides, His city will be built. And are we to have children? Yes, spiritual children. We are to witness to the King, and those spiritual children will be added to the family by the Father as we witness to the King, not because of anything that we have done, but because of the perfect life of Jesus, our King. Friends, there isn't a greater project in the world. I don't know what projects you've been working on over lockdown. We've been painting our fence, doing a bit of DIY around the house. I guess you may have been working on some projects too, but this is the greatest project of them all. And the King's city gets built as the Lord provides. And the King's family increases as the Lord rewards. I don't want to waste my time. You don't want to waste your time either. I hope you feel you haven't wasted your time just listening in for 20 minutes. But certainly in the work of the kingdom, we don't want to waste our time. And here's the pattern we should be following. Depending on the Father, serving in the church. Relying upon Him, witnessing to Him in the world. That is our calling. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for our King. We long to serve Him with all our heart. May we do so, we pray, only in dependence upon You. Father, thank You that the King's family is increasing. Thank You that every day people are being added to our number. We long that that might continue. We long that our church might grow. We long that the church might grow. We can't do that. Only You can do that. Please, as You look upon the Son whom You love, will You reward Him by adding to our number, by growing Your church, and so bringing honour to the King. In His name we pray.